Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
He'll be joining me on Wednesday, okay? So we're going to have a little taste of Danny Cunningham now, and then we'll get the full five-hour experience on Wednesday. Danny, how are we doing today?
I promise not to call you Nick on Wednesday. I will get your name right. I can assure you of that.
You're writing checks that you might not be able to cash. It might just inevitably happen. I don't know. But if you look at me and think Nick, then I need to get on a better diet plan. Something went wrong there, Danny.
Yeah, we need to set you up with a nutritionist if that's ever happening.
By the way, I played Manikiki on Saturday. I had a nice setup. I was gonna be able to play 9 holes on Saturday, 9 holes on Sunday. The rare 2-day weekend golf experience. And so I had Manikiki on Saturday. I was playing really well. I was happy with myself, made a couple nice shots. And then Sunday it got rained out. Is there a more disappointing thing in life than a rained out golf experience?
I struggle to think of more disappointing things in life than that. I played Saturday as well. I was hoping to play Sunday, just too wet. I'm hoping to play tomorrow. I hope that the sun finally starts to come out and we finally get some nice days, because it feels like this spring has just been absolutely brutal in terms of the precipitation.
It's been awful.
And here I thought Danny was going to say, watching the Cavs get gentlemanly swept in the playoffs.
That was brutal,
I mean,
too.
Depends who you ask. I certainly think that missing out on golf is brutal, Daryl.
I think missing out on golf is a top three worst lifetime experience for me anytime it happens.
Well, I got bad news for you. Looking out the window, even though the sun's out, I'm guessing the greens are a little soggy right now, too.
I went to the dentist this morning, Daryl, and they were doing the teeth cleaning, and this woman was just prodding and poking everywhere. As bad as what happened Sunday in a rained out golf experience. Not as bad at all. All right, Danny joining us in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You can find him Locked On Cavs, of course, the Inside Shot on Substack. It's a fantastic Substack. You guys need to subscribe to it immediately. Danny, we obviously led the show talking about Darius Garland and the injury, and finding out 4 to 5 months is the timeline there. Does this impact Darius? Does this impact any trades that the Cavs could have, and what the Cavs would be thinking about trades with this new timeline?
So I think it probably does have some sort of impact, but I also don't think that it was super likely Darius was going to be traded prior to this news coming out today. Like, was he available? Sure. But I don't know that there were a ton of trades out there that made a lot of sense for the Cavs and another team, because it takes two to tango in these things. So I think that before this news came out, I probably thought there was like a 65 to 70% chance that Darius Garland would not be traded. And of course, in the NBA, as you guys know as well as anybody, you can never say never with these things. But I think now it's probably looking like an 80 to 85% chance that Darius Garland is back with the Cavs next year. I just don't think that there is, at this point, with maybe getting a diminished return, should they look to move him, I don't think it would be worth doing so. I don't know that if you are trading Darius Garland for less than what his value is, and I think teams would probably want to give up less considering this injury is going to, I think, cost him at least a little bit of next season, and the fact that he has dealt with some injuries and that is a legitimate knock on his game, I don't think teams would be willing to give up as much. And if teams are not willing to give up as much, I don't think it makes sense for the Cavs to try and trade him then.
Danny, when the injury news came out during the Pacers series, I sarcastically said that look forward to getting the email in the summer that he had surgery. Here we are, June 9, we got the email. He had surgery. Two-part question, did the Cavs throw him under the bus because fans killed him for being soft and being unwilling to play hurt during that Pacers series? And in your mind, does this absolve him from the criticism that the fans, as it turns out, might have been a little unfair in dishing out?
I'll start with the second one. I think it's ridiculous for anyone to call him soft. If you want to say that, like, he's injury prone and he gets hurt, like, that's fine. And I think that there's some evidence to support that, even if some of the stuff is like a fractured jaw, like, there's nothing Darius Garland can do about that. I can't blame him for that. Just like, I don't know that it's his fault he had to deal with this toe injury, but I think that he was playing through a lot of pain. And I think if you watched games 3, 4, and 5 against the Pacers, he looks like somebody that didn't necessarily belong on the floor, not because he's not talented enough, not because he's not good enough, but because he was unable to move. And I think that that was a big part of the reason why the Cavs struggled as much as they did. So whether you want to absolve him for his performance or not, like, I think I understand a little bit of both sides of that. I have looked at this as it's hard for me to really critique what Darius did in those three games, considering kind of what he looks like. Like, if Darius Garland would have looked and moved around like the normal Darius Garland and just shot the ball poorly and turned the ball over a bunch, I think then it would have been pretty fair to be really critical of him. But he didn't look like he was moving around at anywhere near the level we saw Darius Garland at his best this year move around. So I think it's easy to look at that and say, yeah, it's probably a lot of his performance was connected to that. And as far as the first part goes, I do think that the way these injuries have been handled, and we have now seen this in back-to-back postseasons. We saw it with Darius this year where he was listed as questionable for all four games that he missed, I believe. Games 3 and 4 against Miami and then games 1 and 2 against the Pacers. He was listed as questionable. And certainly for maybe some of those games more than others, there was a better chance he was going to play. But I don't think it was ever a 50-50 thing that Darius Garland was going to play in those games. And I think that when you list somebody as questionable, there's an expectation that it's possible they play. We saw this with Jared Allen dealing with a pretty significant rib injury last year, and he was never going to be able to play through that. Just like Darius Garland tried his best to play through it, we saw what it looked like when he did play through it. And I do think that listing him as questionable, and maybe not, and maybe too, this is an injury that lingered longer than expected, and maybe the Cavs didn't have all the information at the time of it. But I don't think that they necessarily look great with the way that this was publicly handled.
So what kind of drop-off are we talking here within trades for Darius relative to this new injury and really the news around the injury? Like, if before we were talking about Jalen Suggs potentially, and whether you like that or didn't like that's a different story, is that even something that is now just too rich for another team's blood?
I mean, if I'm Orlando and I can trade Jalen Suggs for Darius Garland, I would still do that. I don't think the Cavs should have any interest in doing that for a number of different reasons. I think that would be a disaster for Cleveland. But it's hard to say what kind of drop-off there is because it's not as if there are any publicized real offers out there. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of this talk has been kind of just off-season noise because the Cavs won 64 games and they lost in 5 games in the second round and the playoffs were a disaster. So we have to talk about blowing the team up. And I get all of that. And that's what happens when you come up colossally short in the postseason. But it's hard to say what the drop-off is in offers. But if you look at a team maybe like Minnesota, a team that I think should have, if Darius Garland is available, I think that the Wolves should be a team calling the Cavaliers about him. I think if you're Cleveland, that sort of package would need to start at something like Jaden McDaniels and Rob Dillingham, and we will find a way to make the money work because the money does not work for that trade. And it becomes complicated with both teams being apron-level teams. But I think that that package now, if you're Minnesota, probably not going to be on the table. And if you're not getting that type of return, is it really worth trading him? Because Darius Garland is not a player that should ever be traded away just to be traded away. You do not trade away two-time All-Stars that are 25 years old just to get them off the roster. You have to make a trade that would make you better, both, I think, in the near term and the long term. And if there's not a trade that accomplishes that, I don't think that you do a trade just to do a trade.
Danny, because of the view and perception of yet another postseason exit matches the previous 2 years with the whole, you know, physical and mental toughness thing, does this injury to Darius and the impact that it had changed the lens with which you look at this playoff exit for the Cavaliers. And what I mean by that is, I have said that you can't run it back with the core four going forward. I said that last year. I was wrong. They won 64 games, were the number one seed. But now, three straight postseasons where we're talking about the same narrative about this basketball team, does the fact that Darius had this injury now change the way you feel about running it back with the core four?
So this does not. I am with you that I don't think that the core four should be run back. I would look into trading Jared Allen. I've been like, this has been a constant take of mine since the season ended.
You said it day one with us right after the series ended, and I remember the reaction because a lot of people were like, wait, what? Did he just say trade Jared Allen? And then it turned out to be 100% what everyone's logic was.
Right, and I have gone so far as to say that I don't think a core four exists for the Cavs anymore. I think they have three core players. I think Darius Garland is one of them. And if you want to, you could probably make a case that Darius Garland is not a core player and that they have two core players. I'm not there, but I could listen to the argument even if I don't agree with it. I think Jared Allen is a very good player. He's a very high-level role player, but I don't think he's a core player. Cores in the NBA are often not this big, right? Like, we hear the conversation about the Boston Celtics waiting it out and how long did it take for their core to break through, right? We hear 7 years their core was together. Do you know how many guys, so that first year was LeBron's last year in Cleveland, that Celtics team was in the conference finals. Do you know how many guys were on Boston's roster that year that also won the title with Boston? The answer is three, and one of them is Al Horford, who played for two different teams in between that series against the Cavs and the Celtics winning the title. The core in Boston is Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Cores are not big, so I think that the core four is not something that exists. So I do look at it as you should not run back the core four, because I think Jared Allen should be somebody the Cavs look to move. Again, in a similar sense to how I feel about potentially trading Garland, you are not trading him to give him away, but I think that it's an easier trade to make because you don't need to recoup as much value. You don't need to get as great of players back for Jared Allen as you would Darius Garland should you want to make that move. So I do think that running back Darius and Donovan and Evan is the direction that I would go if I'm Kobe Altman, but I don't think that a core four should be a thing we talk about anymore. I think they have three core players. Those three guys all made the All-Star team last year. Two of those guys were all NBA players, and the third was the guard with the most votes that did not make an all-NBA team, and then Jared Allen is a role player, and I think that's kind of how we should look at things.
Danny, my friends in the desert are, not that they've really wavered too much, but after game one, there was some hesitancy there. Pacers plus 400, Thunder minus 525 to win the series now. Do the Thunder have control back in the series after game two?
I think so, because they looked like the Thunder again, right? If you watch game one, and I understand that they had a double-digit lead for a significant chunk of the first game, but they didn't look like the Thunder. They didn't play with the same level of force that if you watch the Oklahoma City Thunder play all season long and all postseason long too, leading up into the series, they didn't look like themselves. I thought they looked a little tentative, and I thought that was very telling. And one of the crazy stats from the first two games is in game two, the Thunder created 10 fewer turnovers by the Indiana Pacers than they did in game one. In game one, the Pacers turned the ball over 25 times, which is just a mammoth amount. And then in game two, they only turned the ball over 15 times. Well, in game two, the Thunder created more points off turnovers than they did in game one. And that, to me, kind of speaks to who the Thunder are. They are so good at capitalizing off those mistakes, and they just didn't do it in game one. And the Pacers took advantage of that, and they had yet another miracle comeback, because that is the thing that the Indiana Pacers are the best at. But I think, ultimately, Oklahoma City is a much better team. I think that if you were to, and I was having this conversation last night with somebody, if you were to simulate the way these first two games have played out, 99 out of 100 times, Oklahoma City is up 2-0 in this series. Mm-hmm. And I think that is more what this series speaks to me than what the reality is. I picked OKC in five. I still feel pretty good about that prediction, despite the fact they lost game one.
Check out Danny Locked On Cavs, the inside shot on Substack. Fantastic insight. I look forward to talking with you on Wednesday for the whole 5 hours. It should be a fun time. Thanks, Danny.
Can't wait to fill you in on how I golf tomorrow.
That's all I want to know. Where are you playing? Your typical course or no?
Yes, I will be at the home club tomorrow.
All right, we got to talk about the vanity handicap that you're building over there, but that's neither here nor there. Thank you, Danny.
See you guys.
All right, good stuff. Danny Cunningham on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. React to what he had to say about Darius. That was interesting about whether or not the percentages get changed in his mind about a potential Darius Garland trade after the news of the day. And do the Thunder have control back? It's Afternoon Drive right here on the Fan. This Afternoon Drive, Jonathan Peterlin and Daryl Ryder with you guys. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. So I give Danny a lot of credit in that he was the very first person I heard be, and it was on with me and Nick, and he was just, no, Nick was off that day. It was me. I might have been even solo. I'm sorry if I'm blanking on whoever I was with. But anyway, Danny popped on, and Danny was like, Jared Allen's the call. That's the person they have to move. It's Jared Allen. And then it just kind of gained momentum. And then now more and more people have just kind of resigned themselves to the fact that Jared Allen is the odd man out. Over the weekend, Fedor was on with the guys on Saturday with Earl and Spencer, and he was saying Darius is the one that has to go. You heard Danny, though. Danny's like 65% chance he wasn't going anywhere, and now that's up to 80 to 85% chance based off of the news today.
So I'm second in line behind Danny to vote.
No,
Jared
no.
off the
Vote
island.
Vote Jared off the island, but he was the only person I heard instantly as the wounds were not even close to healed, as we hadn't stepped away from it.
The scab had yet to form.
Yeah, remember, the conversation, it's changed drastically on this Cavs team within hours of and within days of that whole series ending. There more people than not, by a wide margin, were saying you can't break up the core four. This team was good. They just got injured was the whole entire conversation. I remember when, I swear to you, when Danny said it, I remember being like, wow. He is putting himself out
there.
And now when you hear people say it, though, it's like, yeah, of course Jarrett would be the odd man out. Kind of like what happened last summer, where you ended up with the Boston series and all those injuries. And then as the summer progressed, it turned into a fight of, do you break up the big men? Do you break up the two guards? What do you break up?
But and they didn't break up anything.
Right, but instantaneously, that was a completely different conversation.
Well,
I give Danny credit is the point.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
I'm CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, and you're invited to The Takeout, no reservations required. Every weeknight, our podcast serves up a balanced menu of politics, policy, and pop culture. The day's happenings with curiosity, informality, and humor. Serious discussion, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Follow and listen to The Takeout with me, Major Garrett, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kobe Altman, at his end-of-season press conference, basically said it's unfair that everyone's throwing Jared Allen under the bus. And I'm standing there in my head thinking, well, if the shoe fits.
Right. And remember, that even that was, he did his press conference, what, 4 or 5 days? It was that Monday after they got eliminated, and that was enough time. And by the time we got there, everyone was like, okay, yeah, there has to be some sort of change. There has to be some sort of shakeup. Something has to change here. And then we all listened to Kobe say the same exact thing that he said the year prior. The difference here being, obviously, is that the year prior, he did make a change. It just turned out to be the coach, none of the players.
Right. And I do think that this summer is, which obviously it's at the end of the month here when NBA free agency gets underway. I think this is going to be a wild summer around the NBA. I really do.
That's the expectation. I mean, whether it's Giannis, whether it is Ja Morant, whether it is Devin Booker, whether it's Kevin Durant, whether it's, there's like 75 names that you can throw out there right now. It's just whether or not when it starts going, how many people are going to think to themselves, I really want that undersized guard in Cleveland. Yeah, he scores a lot, but he's a liability defensively. And he gets injured an awful ton. And now this is the second straight year with a significant injury for Darius Garland. Like, if I was selling you something, Daryl, and I presented it to you as I don't know, 60% of what you thought 100% should be, you'd be like, maybe not great. But the sell right now for the Cavs, you're trying to sell a Darius Garland that, yes, has been a two-time All-Star, that, yes, can score 20 a game, and, yes, can do a lot of things that you'd want from a premier player, but it comes with so many different caveats attached to it now with the injuries and with everything else that it's like, how do you possibly expect to get that much of a return?
Well, now I'm trying to sell that Jared Allen's a former All-Star, great rim protector. We're just going to forget about that he can't run to the perimeter and defend or get his backside back toward the rim to continue to defend.
No, he tried defending at the perimeter, and Halliburton just kept putting moonshots over his head.
Right. And so Kobe's challenge is going to be to flip him for a meaningful piece. I'm not advocating just to get rid of Jarrett to get rid of him. Mm-hmm. They have to get a piece in return. But I think he's, outside of Isaac Okoro, he's the guy of that core four that has to go. I'm with Danny. I really liked what he had to say about the core four not being
A true core four.
Yeah, a true core four that everyone's...
Should we call them the dynamic duo and just be like, here's Mobley, here's Donovan, you're not the dynamic duo?
Yeah, though, I mean, those are the two untouchables. And to his point that he made about the Boston Celtics, like, if the Cavaliers win a championship, it's going to be because Evan Mobley and Donovan Mitchell are the centerpieces of the roster. I don't see Jared Allen fitted in there. And look, as much as I like Darius, I can't pound the table to say absolutely under no circumstances should Kobe Altman consider moving on from him. And, mm-hmm. and that's not just because he had surgery today and that he's oft injured. It's just because I recognize small backcourt, anytime anyone puts any type of heat on him, it complicates things for him. It's difficult for him to play through that. At times, and for this team to get where they need to go, which is ultimately win an NBA championship, get the conference finals, NBA finals, win the whole thing.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's not that Darius and Donovan doesn't work. Okay, see, my view of this roster has switched. I didn't think the two bigs together were going to work. I didn't think Darius and Donovan could work. That was last year, and then Kenny comes in. We talked about it earlier in the show. They win 64 games. Top seed, I'm like, oh, what do you know? Kenny Atkinson made the two bigs work. He made Donovan and Darius work
I'm
well
together.
I'm
happy you bring up Atkinson, though.
But then the playoffs come, and then guess what? We're having the same conversation that we've had the previous two off seasons about mental toughness, physical toughness.
What was going to be different? What was going to be different? What did they preach was going to be different in their going away press conference?
They were going to all of a sudden learn to be mentally and physically tougher.
And how were they going to do that? It was because Atkinson was going to have a chance to actually spend time with them in the summer, and he was going to be able to coach him up and do all these things that he wasn't able to do because he was off coaching Team France last year and trying to do the Olympics, right? Well, how much coaching of Darius are you going to be able to do if he's out 4 to 5 months?
I don't think... Here's my...
That sets you back a little bit, does it not?
Yeah, but my thing is, I don't think you can teach mental toughness. Yeah, I can teach physical toughness because I can teach you the mechanics of playing defense, bodying guys up. You know, I can teach that.
Okay, because one of their big...
But what I can't teach you...
Selling points was that Atkinson was going to be able to teach them up and teach them how to do everything. And that's where the true gift of Atkinson lies, is what he can do in the off season. And it's like, okay, show me.
But my point is, I don't think I can teach you mental toughness. I think you either are or aren't. And what did we hear...
And you think Jared Allen is in the aren't category?
Yes. Mm. Along with the physical toughness. He's not... I mean...
I don't disagree. I just wanted to hear you say it.
I'm
trying to make a video for Keith here. Come on. Just wanted to hear you say it.
DeAndre Hunter drops a dude, and there's Jared on the other side of the floor just like looking at it like, oh, so that happened. I'm just going to be over here. Meanwhile, everyone else is running to the man, and Jared's just kind of like, yeah, I'm just going to hang out over here.
He's in the corner doing Rubik's Cubes.
Yeah, cool. But you know what I mean? Like, I don't think that he is has what it takes to win a championship. He has what it takes to help you win.
Do you think Darius does?
I don't know. And that's the thing that I'm struggling with when it comes to Darius.
I'm at the point with Darius where I don't know that answer either. But right now, he's such an injured human, and he's consistently such an injured human that I don't know that I have the time to figure it all out if he does or doesn't.
But here's my thing. This goes a little bit toward our Nick Chubb conversation. When you asked me about does Chubb have enough in the tank? And I'm like, mm-hmm. I don't know. My rule is, if the answer is not yes, and the answer is I don't know or no, you move on. Like, and that's just how I feel. I'm not shy about moving on from a guy if the answer to the question is, I don't know. And I truly don't know what Darius, as much as I like him, as much as I respect him and think he's a spectacular player when he's healthy, I don't know if he's got that championship DNA. I know Donovan Mitchell has it. I believe Evan Mobley has it, okay? I don't know if Darius has it. I know Jarrett doesn't have it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just where I come out with this whole situation is I can't look through this rose-colored glasses. They were supposed to have learned from the beatdown they took from the Knicks. They were supposed to learn from being shorthanded and getting beat down by the Boston Celtics, right? That was supposed to be their motivation. That was what was supposed to energize them and focus them this postseason, right?
Yeah.
And then the day after they get gentlemanly swept from the Pacers, that's where we're here. Well, this is going to be fuel for us. Donovan saying, y'all going to write some stuff about us, and that's going to be motivation. Look, if you need words falling out of my mouth to motivate you, or anything I might type to motivate you, you're going about life wrong.
That's what I always tell people, by the way.
You don't look.
If you needed that Daryl Rotter motivation, you're not doing life right.
If you need me criticizing you to motivate you, you're going about this wrong. Because as much as I like to sit here and think what I say is important, in the grand scheme of them and what they do for a living, it matters not. It really doesn't. What matters is what they're doing between those lines, mm-hmm. their mental approach, their physical approach. And the last three postseasons, this core four has not had it.
Right.
They don't have what it takes to win an NBA championship. I was wrong in thinking that Atkinson could make the lineups work. They did in the regular season. He made it work. But I firmly believe I'm dead on when I say I don't think this core four and this team, as it's constructed, has the mental and physical toughness to get to the level that you see the Indiana Pacers and you see the Oklahoma City Thunder and you see the New York Knicks. They don't have it. And it's okay to say that.
But then you can't just accept it. You have to find a way to get the right answer.
I'm not saying that I accept it.
No, I don't think you're saying that. I'm just saying, like, if you're Kobe Altman, you have to find a way to then get that right answer. And if that means trading Jared Allen, or if that means trading Darius Garland, even though Darius Garland's stock today, I don't think it took a massive hit that you can't move him.
I still don't understand why he gave Isaac Okoro the contract. You put together a great team. What? Why did you feel the need to validate the fifth overall pick
that
you
made? Well, it's exactly that. It's a fifth overall pick that he made.
Right, but my point is,
if anything was taught from us from last year with Kobe Altman is that he is going to defend his own. He's the architect, and he's going to defend his own building the way that a lot of GMs do. It's not crazy just because he constructed it and is like, oh, I believe in it. Like, he's the architect. He's the builder. He's going to believe in what he built.
I mean, Okoro's offensively challenged. They leave him wide open for a reason.
Don't got to tell me.
They're not daring him to shoot the ball.
Mac is looking like he just shot his puppy over there.
They're not. I didn't get the no bullying Mac memo, so it is what it is.
It's a bully free week here on Afternoon Drive.
But they're not daring him to shoot. They're begging him to shoot the basketball because odds are he's going to miss the shot. Okay, so he's a lockdown defender. Whoop-dee-doo.
And Kobe knows it too. But again, like last year where he ran back the whole core four, it was under the idea that,
I watched Isaac Okoro miss 10 straight corner three-pointers in practice.
Not good.
10 straight. I counted them.
Nobody guarding him?
Nobody guarding him.
Just open 10.
Just the coach passing him the ball, catching, sometimes put it on the deck and then shoot.
How many are you hitting out of 10 corner threes?
Me? None. Yeah. I stink, but like him, he should be making those.
Well, yeah. So like Steph, for instance, Steph Curry If you leave them unguarded in practice, makes like 90 of those. It's an insanely high number when they're not guarded and they just get to just shoot like normal in a gym where no one else is around them. It's insane the amount of makes they have.
Well, Steph does the half court and three quarter court, not even trying to make shots, and he still makes them.
He's a freak of a human in many ways.
Isaac Okoro's, or I should say Steph Curry, is
10 straight unguarded and just practice.
10 straight unguarded in a practice, and I'm like, yeah. Offensive basketball is not for Isaac Okoro. Well,
and the problem there is when you put him on the court and you have him just sit in the corner like he's the Moses Cleveland statue, the problem
and
there...
And you still pass him the ball.
It changes the whole offense because then people aren't playing. They're not playing. They're playing 5-on-4 is what they're playing.
Right.
Just defensively, it works out in the other team's favor. All right. 216-474-0092. We're coming back. We have a Peterlin pass related to the Guardians and a trade that it's getting a lot of people hot and bothered. I'll explain what I mean when we come on back. It's Afternoon Drive right here in the Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
I'm CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, and you're invited to The Takeout, no reservations required. Every weeknight, our podcast serves up a balanced menu of politics, policy, and pop culture. The day's happenings with curiosity, informality, and humor. Serious discussion, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Follow and listen to The Takeout with me, Major Garrett, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's only one man with the knowledge to criticize and the power to let it slide. It's time for this week's Peterlin Pass.
All right, the Peterlin Pass is going to come with some audio. To start off, Jeff Passan and Buster Olney were discussing a potential trade for Marcell Ozuna, and this is what the two had to say, courtesy of ESPN.
The second Marcell Ozuna is on the trade block, Buster, he's the best bat out there. And I know he's only a designated hitter, so that does a little bit limit the number of teams that he could go to. But at the same time, he's just been tremendously productive.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see Marcell Ozuna like in the middle of, and I'm just pulling a team out of the air, the Detroit Tigers. You know, drop an established hitter like that into that group, or Cleveland.
Yeah, or Cleveland. Cleveland would be such a good fit for him. A good fit.
I don't disagree. Cleveland would be a great fit. The only problem I have in this setup, Darryl, and I'll deliver my pass in a second, for somebody that finished fourth in the MVP voting last year, multiple time top six MVP vote getter, at one point led the National League in home runs. That was the COVID year. But it still happened. It still happened, people. The man hits home runs is the point. I don't know that I love him just playing DH. That might be a bit of a problem, but he is a guaranteed masher of the baseball.
There is, I would say, no chance the Guardians trade for Marcell Ozuna.
Zero chance,
and I'm going to explain why.
I think he's on the hook for, is it $8 million or is it $16? I'm inverting the two in my brain right now.
He is in the final year of his contract.
That's part of the appeal.
They don't do rental players. That's not how the Guardians do business. They don't
trade Steelers, for... The Steelers didn't... you know, trade for massive wide receivers and give them $50 million either until they did with DK Metcalf.
I understand.
We're turning over a new leaf here, Daryl. We need some reinforcements.
No, this is not how the Guardians do business.
What is it, Mac?
He's making $16 million this year.
Yeah, so it'll be $8 million for the second half of the season. $8 million to rent Marcell Ozuna and give you a power bat that you desperately need.
They're not going to rent a guy that gets to walk away in free agency next summer. Now, if he was under contract for at least another year or two...
You're not getting a player that's under contract because these type of players are too expensive for you in contract.
I understand that. I'm just telling you, the way the Guardians do business...
They need to do business a little bit differently.
Would it be a great trade for them? Absolutely. I'm not arguing about trading for the player. I'm looking at it through the lens of reality and the
reality
way the Guardians
The preeminent baseball reporter in the entire country, Jeff Passan, Solon's own, says this is a perfect fit. Buster Olney, also very highly respected baseball player, reporter.
It's a perfect fit, but it's not how the Guardians do business.
Here's where the Peter One pass comes in. Marcell Ozuna has some issues in his life. That man is far from a saint, okay? And so I'm going to offer up the Peter Wynn pass to those that are saying I'm going to bypass some of the issues that have happened in Marcell Ozuna's life in order to get this guy here on the basis that if the devil had a 900 OPS, I would also sign him to this team. Like, I need offense in the worst way imaginable, Daryl. And so I'm going to bypass any of the past transgressions because I'm going to look at the artist for the art at this point, and I'm going to judge him just based off that. And I'm going to look at the 31 home runs he hit last year and the 925 OPS he had last season. And I'm going to say to myself, the Braves aren't getting rid of any of their main cores. Ozuna, not a member of the main core at this point. I would imagine between him... There's a couple other players that I could think of that they potentially would be interested in getting rid of, Chris Sale being one of those as well, that I feel like could be a bargain. And so I want the Guardians to go after him.
I was gonna say, they don't like paying players $8 million for the full season. I don't think there's any chance they're paying $8 million for half a season and also giving up prospects to get said player so that then... said player can walk off in free agency in the offseason. I just don't see that there's any way. Not that it wouldn't be a fit in the lineup, not that it wouldn't be a need addressed, but just the reality of how the Guardians do business. This ain't it.
They need to do business differently is what I'm campaigning here. We need to zig when everyone else is zagging. We need to figure this out and figure it out fast.
This goes against their DNA.
Again, the Steelers' DNA wasn't to give DK Metcalf a bunch of money and trade for him. That did not exist in Steelers' history.
And how's that worked out for the Steelers?
Well, we'll find out. He hasn't played it down for him yet. We'll find out. I mean, it might be the greatest move they've ever made. Okay. But going against the grain is something... I mean, again, we got to think this way. If you're going to make something happen, and Ozuna would be that something. I can't let $8 million stand in the way of this, and I also can't let the idea that he's just a half a year rental stand in the way. Not when I feel, as of right now, you are a legitimate playoff team, but you need some bats. I mean, we just watched this past weekend, Daryl, where
you think they're a legitimate playoff team? Watching this team, you think they're a legitimate playoff team?
This team's a playoff team, yeah. Yeah. This team,
really?
Yeah, this team's a playoff team, yeah. I'm not saying they're the world's greatest team, but they're a playoff team.
You mean they're a wild card exit?
Not exit. Again, depending on what they end up doing, who knows? Now, I'm looking at a little glass half full. If I'm like, if you add an Ozuna, all of a sudden you got bats coming out of your ears. No, it's not. It's not the truth. They're still very far behind a lot of teams when it comes to offensive production. But you need to chisel away at that some point. If you add Ozuna. And then you bring up some of the young kids. I think we're waiting on, 8 more days before June 17th? You start to bring up DeLarder. You start to bring up Kafis. You start to bring up some of these guys. And all of a sudden, the holes you have in this lineup aren't as great as what they have. And you turn what is right now just a putrid offensive team into something that is at least better than respectable. Then maybe, just maybe, when Bibee takes the mound... When Gavin takes the mound, all these and by the way, when Bieber's back, these pitchers Ortiz throwing tonight. By the way, he's been awesome. These pitchers have a chance if they only allow 2 runs. Because lately, it's been if they allow 2 runs, it's good morning, good afternoon, and good night.
Well, yeah, because the Guardians they played like 30 games this year, something like that, where they've scored 3 or fewer runs and they've won 7 or 8 of them. Like it's not great. Let me turn it around on you for a second.
Yeah, what do you got?
What am I giving up to get the fabulous Ozuna? What is he costing to rent him for $8 million?
It really would not be nearly as much as people think.
Okay.
It really wouldn't. I'm looking at maybe one top 20 prospect somewhere around there. And then it would probably be a player that you could easily part with that you don't even think is anything good anyway, like a Jonathan Rodriguez or someone like that to begin with. Like it's not a very hefty price.
My follow-up question is, do the Guardians strike you as a team that can afford to trade top 20 prospects?
Yeah. That's why you have prospects. Okay. You have prospects to trade prospects. I think it's something the Guardians have gotten just absolute bonkers backwards in recent years. They forgot the main idea of baseball prospects. It's to move them for actual baseball players. It drives me up the wall. They look at these prospects as if they're just valuable currency that can never be parted with. And it's like, no, they're a ticking time bomb. You got to get rid of these things and get value for them.
No, the ticking time bomb is they got to make sure that they can maximize the whole service time thing. Yeah. Can't bring them up too early. Don't want to start the service time clock too soon.
Yeah, the reason you have prospects in baseball is to trade prospects. The Guardians have been lying to everyone in this town for 20 years about that ideology. But meanwhile, the rest of baseball all conforms to it.
Listen, I guess I owe you an apology then, and I have to request a Peterlin pass for throwing how they actually do business back at you.
But hey, don't worry. You enjoy your 3 weeks of Will Wilson. Can't be out there to mess with guys like that. Will Wilson down today. That was the other big news of the day. And that is the Peterlin Pass.
The Peterlin Pass.
All right, we come on back. Busy, busy, busy 5 o'clock hour. We got the lead. Also at 5:20, is the Browns quarterback approach a recipe for success? One national publication debates that. We'll debate it as well. It's Afternoon Drive right here on The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I'm CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, and you're invited to The Takeout, no reservations required. Every weeknight, our podcast serves up a balanced menu of politics, policy, and pop culture. The day's happenings with curiosity, informality, and humor. Serious discussion, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Follow and listen to The Takeout with me, Major Garrett, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.